What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. I know we promised you guys Lawrence and Chris for part two. Plans have changed. It's just me and Nat following game five.
Oh my gosh.
In which, so I heard this all morning long, different podcasts. Chris mentioned it in part one of this episode. If you haven't heard part one, go listen to part one. But the series hasn't started until someone wins on the road. And right. Here it is. Bucks finally get the win on the road. Nat, what's your initial reactions, man?
First off, I'm glad I'm recording this right away because, my gosh, like, the first thing I want to do was just talk about it. Just talk about this game and everything that happened. You know, just spoiler alert for those who haven't listened to part one yet. I was the sole member of the crew today that predicted a Bucks win. I was kind of embarrassed, low key. I thought I was making the wrong decision, but look at this. I was right.
What do you got?
I even predicted a Jrue Holiday game, and boy, did he show off. Oh my gosh, did he?
That's an understatement. Yes. See,
people talk about the LeBron block. Now they have to add the Jrue Holiday steal. Or that's just, yes. That's a new defensive play in the finals that we have to keep going back to here and then. But I mean, where do you want to start first? Like, where should we begin this reaction? First quarter?
So first quarter, right? I think, like, I don't know about you, but first quarter, I was like, okay, Suns starting off hot. They did this in game four.
First quarter, I was like, all right, someone's going to win this game. Like, it seemed like they were clear.
I mean, they were up 16. They were up 16. Yes. 16. And then the second quarter comes. And I don't know what it is with Phoenix, but they have terrible, dreadful second quarters. And the flip for Milwaukee Bucks, I think they score something like, I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head the amount of points they scored in the second quarter, or something ridiculous, like 40 or something. I think it was like 40-something to the Suns, like 24.
Okay.
And they end up going into the half with the lead, and I'm like, what is going, like, what just happened?
So for the record, I stepped out and couldn't watch the second quarter. Real quick, what was the second quarter in a nutshell? Like, what happened?
Basically, if I recall correctly,
because in the Chris chat you were Paul, like, yeah, CP3 was like, what's wrong with him or whatever you said in the chat, right? About CP3, what happened?
So for shooters in general, you're going to try to find your flow, try to get into a rhythm. You're going to take shots because you can't figure out your flow or the rhythm of a game unless you're taking shots. And he was taking shots, but they were not smart shots. Like, you're taking shots early on in the shot clock where you're the point guard. Like, you could definitely find a better shot than what he was taking. Run something. And something else that I noticed about the Suns throughout the course of the game, and I think is what really hurts them, is they run a set play. If that play breaks down, it's like they don't know what to do. How many times they would run a set play, it would break down, there's 8 seconds left on the clock, and they're all just standing around looking at each other, and, you know, DeAndre has to try to come up with something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what is going on? But CP3 definitely, I know he hit some big shots here and there, but it was not – something's definitely off there. I don't know if it's mental, physical, combination of the two, but that second quarter was very telling. I tell you what, after that second quarter, I knew the Bucks were going to win.
Man, there was a sequence. I think it was second or third quarter when Jrue Holiday's on Booker, and he gets a steal on Booker. That's not the other one, but in the third quarter, he gets a steal on Booker, and then – brings the ball to the other side and then shoots a three on Booker. And I was like, yeah, I knew it. That's when I knew. I was like, yeah, this is going to be the Bucks game to win for sure.
I knew Bucks were going to win in the second quarter because that's when Jrue Holiday had a great first quarter. And then for it to carry over into the second quarter and to go into the half with like 16 points, which is more than what he scored, you know, the last game and the game before that.
Yeah, he had 14 second quarter points. Yep.
You knew exactly that, you know, something something special was going to happen with Drew today. He was just feeling it. It was weird because he's the type of player where like Giannis, when Giannis starts getting going, like you see it physically. When D-Book starts getting going, like you see it. Drew Holiday, it's almost like unexpected. Like you don't expect it. I don't know if it's because he's had such bad games the last few games, but like for him to go off, like there's moments where he'll make a shot like, oh, that kind of caught me off guard. And then next thing you know, he has, you know, 20 plus points racked up. You're like, what the heck just happened? Like out of nowhere.
All three of them were just on. They were just on point today. Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis, dude. In the third quarter, third quarter, dude, like there was a stretch where the Bucks just couldn't miss. Like Giannis kept making his shots. Yes. Drew was hitting his. Middleton was more in the fourth quarter. But, dude, I was surprised by how efficient they were. I told you that was the key, their shot making. Like making their shots and they'd win. But
I was confused by the Suns because it seemed like a lot of the time it was heavy. Run the offense through CP3, run the offense through D-Book. Get them a shot. If they can't get a shot, then toss it up. Because I was confused as to why you're not feeding DeAndre Ayton. Like, yes, he would get like looks and like he missed a couple of bunnies here and there, but he's we saw it all throughout the first, you know, three rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And everybody's been talking about DeAndre Ayton. He's not a, you know, he's no bum. Like, he can produce for you. Get him involved into the offense. Get him involved.
Dude, but did you catch one of his possessions where he gets a lob from somebody and he misses that point blank, like, alley-oop dunk? Like, he's literally right there. He just, like, just tips it in or just, like, kind of floats it up. So I have to just dunk it. Just dunk it.
Well, for me, I feel like in moments like that, it's because he's not getting consistent enough touches. So, like, when you go stretches without getting the ball, you're going to second guess yourself. You're going to shortchange the shot. You're going to, you know, there's all these different variants that happens when you're in the middle of, in the heat of a game. And for a big man, I mean, you hear it all the time with old school players, like feed the big man early, reward the big man early. And I felt like they just didn't do that. Mikal Bridges, where were you? Cam Johnson, like, I don't know if he didn't show up or I honestly feel like from what I saw, my initial reaction is just that there was no ball movement.
Yeah.
And Bucks on Booker the flip heavy. Side had all the ball movement.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm going to add this in there too. Pat Connington. All, like, how
the most threes in the finals out of all players right now. That's what
not I only on the that. Broadcast. Not only that, but his ability to get the offensive rebound.
No, but that's one of the Suns, though, low-key. That's one of the Suns just being lazy, you know?
No, but there was even a play where D-Book got the foul, but as soon as the shot went up, D-Book literally turned around away from the shot to try to stop Pat Connington.
Mm-hmm.
He did a terrible job of trying to stop him because Pat got by him. And eventually, you know, tipped the ball or something like that. But then D-Book got called for the foul. I'm like, put a body. Like, how, the amount of offensive rebounds that the Bucks got, like, I don't understand what the Phoenix Suns are doing. There's literally four jerseys around the cup. And, like, Drew Holiday ends up with the offensive rebound. Pat Connington ends up with the even in the last few seconds of the game.
Drew as well had some rebounds as well, yeah.
But even in the last few seconds of the game, Giannis misses the free throw.
Mm-hmm.
Badly, mind you, but still, he back taps it to Chris Middleton.
Yep.
It's little plays like that. Like,
I think the ball lands when Giannis misses that free throw, it lands, I think, near Ayton and Drew. I believe, don't quote me on that, but like Ayton kind of like tips it up, but then Giannis just goes forward because he's close by. So it's like,
what baffles me is when you line up for free throws, right, and you're the defense. So the offense is shooting the free throw. You're on defense. You have two guys on one side, three on the other. Total of, did I say that right?
What about defense?
Doesn't make sense. No, when you're at the free throw line.
Oh yeah, usually there's three and two, right? Three people on one side and then two in the other. Yeah.
The person that's the third person closest to the shooter, your main objective is to box out the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
there's no reason Giannis should have gotten that rebound, that back tap. No reason whatsoever. And I think, you know what it is? I as the game is going on, it's the Bucks just wanted more.
Exactly. That was my main point too, as well. Yep. Dude, like, they're scrappy. Like, they fought all these games. Like, even if they lost, they still fought their way in to at least make it close. You know,
it all starts with this guy. Oops,
wrong way. I love that picture. I love this whole setup you got right now. It's hilarious. Like, I'm hiding my laughter from the mic. But dude, this look, wait, hold on. If I read you these stats right now, watch the Suns. Aiden had 20. Booker had 40. Jay Crowder 10. CP 21. And then Mikal Bridges at 13 points. You would think that they'd win that game, right? Like,
yep.
Decent mm-hmm. output, you know? But, dude, like you said, they need to, you know, every team needs that two scorers, two consistent, efficient scorers.
Yep.
And to be honest, Middleton, Drew, and Giannis, those are three. So they got to win that game for sure.
Here's the other thing, too. Since you have the stats up right now, can you just do me a quick favor? Yeah. Just take a look at three-pointers comparing, you know, both teams.
Mm. Yeah, the Bucks shot it well, didn't they? They shot it better. Oh, wait, no, I lied. The Suns shot 68% from three today,
mm-hmm.
while the Bucks shot, you know, 50%.
But how many threes did the Bucks take as opposed to the Suns?
Bucks took 14 of 28, and then Suns took 13 of 19.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're putting up 28 shots. You and I have discussed this before. Like, mm-hmm. you know, does percentage really matter, or is it the volume in which you take them? You're taking more shots. That's giving you more opportunities.
Right.
They made. Granted, it was one more 3-pointer made, but still, like, it's mm-hmm. it's not nothing.
But Bucks do that though. They're always shooting threes. They're always, like, you know, jacking up mm-hmm. threes early in the game.
They too. Hit threes when it matters most.
Mm-hmm. Can we address Giannis real quick? Because
sure,
he misses the two, like, biggest free throws of his life, and they still win the game. Like, isn't that kind of insane?
You know, like, it doesn't surprise me anymore, because, like what you said, they scrap. So he's going to miss those free throws, but he's going to make damn sure he's going to get the rebound or attempt to get the rebound.
Bro, the Giannis oop. Like, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I was, like, looking at the pictures. He almost hit the set on the backboard. Like, that dude's that much of a freak, bro. Like, he literally, like, jumps that high and, like, ducks and then just dunks it, gets the N1. I'm like, all right, this guy's MVP. I mean, finals MVP for sure. It's got
to
be.
This brings me back to two points I want to make. Number one is, we mentioned in part one of the podcast that Giannis, over the last, even just in this postseason, there's been a certain growth and maturity to his game. His mindset, where he's just straight attacking. Mm-hmm. You also hear it in interviews where it's almost like everything he's saying is absolutely perfect, and it's the absolute right thing to say.
Yeah.
When he's asked about his ego, or, like, when you're down in the series, or whatever the case is, he always has the perfect answer. And if the other point I wanted to make, because I think it somewhat ties into everything, at the beginning of the season, when we started recording for the season, and also, like, halfway through, do you remember what I said about who would win the NBA Finals?
I don't remember, to be honest, no.
I said whoever comes out of the East, because the East was top-heavy with Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I said whoever comes out of the East is going to win the NBA Finals because of the gauntlet that they're going to have to get through in order to reach the NBA Finals. Milwaukee Bucks had to face the Miami Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champions. After facing them, they had to face the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Nets, right? So they saw
injured
every Sorry. Type of scorer, even though they're injured. They saw every type of scorer out of that series. And then the third round, they faced the Atlanta Hawks, who have the uncanny ability to flip a game just like that. By they could be down by 20, end up winning by 3. They were one of those teams that goes on crazy runs. I think that series prepared Milwaukee for the early onslaught that they get from the Phoenix Suns, where in the first quarter, Phoenix up by 16. You're like, oh, gosh, this game is over. And no, Milwaukee finds a way to keep coming at them,
right,
and break down that you know those large deficits.
But man, like the Suns are always dominant at home. Like I was surprised that they kind of shrunk in the second half of this game, and even looking at back to the Bucks, because they're just kind of like the main story now, is Middleton.
Right.
Dude, that guy was tired. Like people, like everyone saw it, like third quarter, fourth quarter, he was tired. He played 44 minutes this game. And yet he made those incredible shots. That 1 3-pointer, I think over Crowder. Oh no, that 1-2 and 1 over Crowder. I was like, bro, mm-hmm. I thought he was mm-hmm. gonna miss that. I was like, no way, bro.
Talking about being tired, even Giannis coming out of halftime, it was like 2 minutes into the third quarter.
Yeah.
And Jeff Van Gundy pointed out how on a series it was going back and forth real quick, and then on the way back up court they were on offense, Giannis is walking,
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh, Giannis is gas right now, he's walking back across half court, you know, he's not really even involved in the play. And exactly after he said that, I don't know who it was that was down low, kicks it out to Giannis, who's over at the 3-point line. He did a no look bounce pass
mm-hmm.
to Chris Middleton, who hits the open three. And I'm like, there you go. You know what I mean? Like I think it's just motor. The Bucks just want it more. I feel like if for mm-hmm. Phoenix, D-Book wants it. He's playing like he wants it. He's dropping 40 points a game.
Yeah.
CP3, this is supposed to be your opportunity. The stars were literally lined for you.
You know what? You know what though? I think it was because LeBron was there.
I think he was too nervous. He's like, oh, my boy's here. I got to show up for my boy. Like, it's like, you know, it's like
the goat's here.
When you're playing pickup basketball and your girl shows up and you start to go extra hard, taking jumpers over four people. Like, it's not.
Yeah, man.
You know, and then you start playing terribly. I think it was that was the same effect.
Oh, but dude, I mean, the main person today was Jrue Holiday, man. That clutch steal. Also, wait, question for you. So in that play, the Suns had, I think, one timeout left, I believe, or two. One. But they didn't call it. And then that's when Booker drives in, gets stopped, and then gets the ball stolen from Jrue Holiday. Should they have called timeout?
No.
Okay.
I've seen it only because I've seen it with the Warriors in the Warriors situation, where even when you're down, but you're coming off a momentum play defensively. You know, defensively, they were coming off a momentum play. They should have
mm-hmm.
not stopped the clock. You put the ball in your best scorer's hands. It's just in the moment, he made a bad choice. Don't hesitate. Yeah. You get into the paint, go up with it. Get the foul call at least.
Because what, they were down one or two at that point. I forget. I think
they were down.
No, they were down three.
Three. They were down three.
Okay, yeah. Man.
And in that situation, just take it up strong. Don't hesitate when you're down there. You had three people on you. You could have easily gotten the foul call, especially you're at home. But for mm-hmm. him to pump fake, hesitate, and then turn around, Jrue Holiday with the IQ, defensive IQ, to step in at the right moment.
Right. I guess this game does prove that defense wins championships, because look at all the scoring from both teams. Both teams scored very efficiently on their end, but it was only, you know, those key stops from Jrue, you know, Giannis being Giannis in the paint. It's like, man, that's
you know, even it was wild too, because there were certain plays even in the second and third quarter where, you know, Jrue Holiday is getting a hand in, you know, while D-Book is penetrating to the basket, or PJ Tucker's being annoying and slapping the ball away. Like, there was like a couple of like careless turnovers by the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily careless. It was great defense by the Bucks. It's just like, there's obviously the Bucks are going to pick up Chris Paul or Devin Booker three quarters court. Like, they're going to guard them almost full court.
Yeah.
You have to make in-game adjustments to do something about that. A lot of the time I see them waiting for the switch. They get the switch. They dribble some more, trying to make something happen. As soon as the switch comes, attack. Attack the rim. Both the ball handler and the big man. Attack. Catch them off guard. I'm like, what are you? Oh, man, that was.
Speaking of adjustments, for adjustments, I noticed this. Jrue Holiday kept getting like different assignments throughout the game.
Yes.
He had Booker for a minute and then Chris Paul for a minute. That just shows that, like, the Bucks actually are making adjustments. We just, you know, right?
I was one of those who would roast Coach Bud for not making in-game adjustments, but I was listening to a podcast with Bill Simmons, and I forgot who his guest was that they had on there. They pointed out different scenarios in which there are in-game adjustments. It's just that it's not drastic enough, or it's not what you see with, like, Coach Spo or Steve Kerr or, you know, these other coaches. Just because it doesn't look like it doesn't necessarily mean it's not happening. But, you know, I do believe that he is making adjustments that are needed, but he offensively likes to stick to a certain plan. And I mean, you can't knock it. It's working.
Yeah.
The Suns can't stop them. I will say this, props to DeAndre Ayton, because there was a lot of times where he was able to slow down Giannis. Like, he knew when the spin move was coming. So you saw when, like, the moments where he would bump Giannis to get Giannis off balance. I just wish they went to Ayton more offensively. That's my thing.
Yeah.
And just run more sets. I don't know what it is. They live or die by that pick and roll, that high screen pick and roll. And you and I talked about this after game two, and I told you I don't know if it's sustainable, especially with Chris Paul. And you saw it tonight, because he's not getting the right lift. Like, it's hitting the front of the rim. He's taking, like you mentioned earlier in the second quarter, you weren't there. He was just taking bad shots. Like, he was just, you always hear, like, in pickup games, like, oh, don't force it. Like, he was forcing it. it was crazy. Really frustrating to watch. Yeah.
Man, so I mean, what do you think about game six? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Because I think the Suns are going to bounce back and win game six, because now it's like, oh, this is urgent. Like, we got to win this game, you know, like, backs against the wall. I think they're going to win game six and then get
so game seven. This could be just like my, you know, overreacting.
Okay.
Number one, I think there's with the willpower that the Milwaukee Bucks have, they're not losing. They're not losing at home.
They're at home. I forgot they were at home. Yeah.
Giannis will will them to victory. And then on the flip side, I don't think the Suns, because they haven't shown it to me thus far, I don't think they have the, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it, but they just don't have that it factor to
isn't bounce. It crazy?
Like, they get hit in the face, in the mouth. They don't fight back. I'm like, fight back. Like, do something. Like,
dude, attack. Like they've been dominant this whole stretch of the playoffs. And then just in the finals, like, it's like they're kind of being exposed, or they're kind of, like, you know, getting kind of casual here. I don't know. Like, what's going on?
I think I honestly, truly do believe it goes back to what I was saying and what I predicted at the beginning of the season, is that everybody knows that the Western Conference is so tough and so hard, but in a year where there was injuries, there's a lot of weird, wacky things going on. I just felt all year long that the top of the East was just so tough, with Philly, especially with Brooklyn. That's a tough series. Even though you don't have Kyrie, even though you don't have a healthy Harden, that was a tough series. I mean, it was seven games.
They lost by, 39 in game two or game three, that was?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they lost bad. Crazy.
Yeah. And then to face a team like the Atlanta Hawks, who, myself included, everybody was sleeping on, but they were just a different look. And I think it couldn't have played out better for the Bucks, because the Bucks had to learn how to overcome those large stretches of, you know, the Hawks could just go off at any second and give you 12 points in 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they had to learn how to adjust to something like that. And you saw how they're able to bounce back tonight after that first quarter. You know, they stayed the course. They never backed down. And I think it's like the Suns, they let off the gas way too early.
True.
And I don't know what Monty's doing, but I there's instances where I feel like you're trying to win the NBA finals. If you have to play certain guys 40 plus minutes, play those guys 40 plus minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like any moment they take Booker off the court, it's a point differential swing. Like,
bro, look at the Bucks. They had Jeff Teague on for a hot minute. It took him out. It was like, no, this is not working. Get back on the bench. Like, stop. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And like, I mean, you saw it with KD. KD was coming off an AC, a torn Achilles, and he's playing 48 minutes, 50 minutes.
Yeah,
you can't get D-Booked to play more than 45 minutes in a game. True. 48 minutes.
True.
That's your all-star. That's your future of your franchise. Utilize him. It's the NBA Finals. This is your only chance. You get one shot.
This game was it, dude. This is a pivotal game. Like, it literally, like, this is deciding who the champion one more is, basically. Game.
That's what Giannis said in the post-game interview. One more. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
One more game.
You know, and who's going to stop him? Only himself. Like that. Yeah. That's really it.
And he's overcome that hump, that personal hump of defeating himself in the playoffs. And here, I mean,
wow. Because he has the mindset now. He's saying, like, you know, if you think about the past, it's your ego or something like that. Think about the future, it's your pride. And the present, it's your humility. Like, that's it, dude. Like, this guy's locked in. Like, he knows who he 100%. Is. Oh, man, I'm a fan now. I want Giannis right here.
Oh, big time.
I want Giannis right here. Maybe LeBron, take this off and put Giannis there. You know what I'm saying?
Giannis is just, he's really grown on me and impressed me, especially in this postseason, because all year long, you know, everybody was saying, like, oh, he doesn't deserve a third MVP. You know, he can't get out of the first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs. Here he is.
He only dunks or something like that. Yeah, you know, like, dude, his passing today? To do. His passing?
His passing was on point.
Bruh.
His passing was on point.
Yeah, man.
That's another thing. Like, if Ayton's on the court, you don't need to double team Giannis as he penetrates. Ayton can hold his own because you're leaving corner guys wide open.
Yeah.
Bobby Portis, PJ Tucker, Pat Connaughton, like, those guys were hitting those threes, draining them. Yeah, man. I knew before the series started that this was going to be a good NBA Finals.
Yeah.
You know,
evenly matched.
Yeah. Everybody was so used to seeing the Warriors or the Lakers or LeBron or, you know, break up the monotony. Like, that's why I'm happy, you know, with all due respect to.
Yeah, this is good for the culture.
To Chris over there. Like, I'm glad it wasn't Brooklyn.
Oh, you know, man. I mean? You're just saying, like, that now because he's not here, right? No,
okay. Yeah. you know, because if it was Brooklyn, like, this series would have been over. It would have been a sweep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least now, like, we have something that literally has you on the edge of your seat, like, and something that gets you, like, fired up, especially if you're, like me, rooting for the Suns, and you're just like, what are you doing? Like, box out, grab boards.
You're going to let Pat Connaughton get your rebound? Bro.
You know, he's not even, like...
I mean, he's on scrub, though. I got to get props to him, but, like, damn. Like, these are easy rebounds for him.
Is he the one that, like, participated in a slam dunk contest?
Yes.
He is, right?
Yeah. That's him.
I mean, that's... That's when he was with the Pacers, I think.
I don't think so. No. He was with the Bucks.
Was on the sidelines,
like, recording it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, hey, you know, when you got hops, it makes it easier to grab boards. I mean, that's a key contributor.
I saw this one tweet, by the way. It's like, the Bucks resemble hope. You know, like, you got Giannis and Middleton, who's been there for at least seven plus years, grinding it out, staying loyal to their, you know, to their team, fighting for, you know, a chance to bring their home, you know, their first team a chip. And look at them. Like, they're literally one win away. Like, man, I was waiting for the Suns because Chris Paul, but now I'm like, the Bucks just have a better story, and they clearly want him more, like you just said, you know?
Right. I mean, you know, the other thing too is that Chris Middleton and Giannis are the original two Bucks. This is the only two Bucks since Giannis has been in the league.
That's crazy.
And the rest of the team is just completely different now. Of course, like, you feel bad for CP3 and you want him to win, but you can't, like, it was easy against Denver because you're blowing out Denver. You know, it's easy when you're beating a Kawhi-less Clippers team It's easy when you're beating a hobbled LeBron and 80-less, you know, Lakers team.
Right, right.
But when you're faced with real adversity and I know he hasn't claimed himself to be, but when you're dubbed the point god and you can't find a way to get something, something, anything, you have to be able to figure things out. And for some of the shots that he was taking, I was just like, it's not looking good.
I mean,
it's not looking good for the narrative.
Chris Paul is facing an all defensive guard in Jrue Holiday, bro. One of the probably the best in the league right now in guarding guards.
Which also, I understand.
Paul, wait, back to your point about who they faced. Look at Aiden. Aiden hasn't really faced a center like Giannis or Brook Lopez. You know, think about it. He's faced, AD was out, but he's faced Jokic, who is kind of slow on defense. He's faced Zubats, who, you know, is kind of mismatched. Then you have Giannis here, who's a two-time MVP. It's know about Aiden. You know, Aiden went off for a few games, but it's hard over a seven-game series for all this time being played.
Look, I understand the Jrue Holiday on Chris Paul thing, but Chris Paul has been in the league a long time. He's seen all of the elite defensive players. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Look at LeBron. LeBron figures things. I it's not fair to compare the two. LeBron is great, he arguably one of the greatest of all time, and you just kind of want you just feel bad for Chris Paul. Everything he's been through, this is the perfect time, the perfect opportunity for him to win it. And Lauren said it in part one, maybe the lights are just too bright for him.
Don't you remember his quote back in OKC? He was like, some people are built for the clutch moments. You know what I'm saying? He knows that he can do it. He's built for the moment. I don't know. Maybe is it age? Is it this injury with his wrist? It's not clear cut.
I think personally, there's something mentally blocking, and I think it's also something physical. That's just my speculation.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what comes out when the series ends.
Oh, game six is on Tuesday. I gotta wait.
So before we wrap up, let me ask you this: who wins Tuesday night?
Dude, how crazy would a game seven be in the series? I'm just saying. Game seven in the series. For that reason, I'm going the Suns.
I said Phoenix. At the beginning of the series. As much as Giannis and the Bucks have grown on me, I'm still going to stick to Phoenix because that's what I said.
Okay.
So I think Phoenix steals one in Milwaukee.
So they'll win the next two. You're saying?
I think they'll. I kind of have to. They're going to win the next two.
You said Phoenix. Yeah. Yeah. They have to win
the next two. Yeah.
Well, good luck, Phoenix, stopping that guy behind PJ. It's
wrong side.
Case. It's case to him. I don't know. Yikes. I don't know. You look more terrifying than Giannis is. Giannis is kind of
he's a little bit more calm, cool about it. He's
when Giannis has food and you kind of just take a bite out of it, he's come on, bro. why'd you do that?
I'm not gonna lie, man. This is the face of a cold person right here. That was props to Giannis, man.
We've seen many Giannis mean mugs, but after that incredible oop, he just does that face. I'm like,
I think this is my favorite one.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. before we add, I'll just quickly say this. That's one of the reasons why I love Dwayne Wade, especially early on in his career. Because, you see, sorry, my chair is squeaking, but you see a lot of guys with the celebration now, with the the flex, put on the suit and stuff like that. D Wade, whenever he dunked on somebody or he had a crazy move, he had the most stoic face.
Yep.
Most stoic face. And that, I think there's nothing colder than just being
that's kind of better too.
Yeah, I did that. I just did that. You know what I mean?
That's what is respectful.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why this right here, man. Look at that.
Yep.
How cold is that? That is a cold face right there, man.
That is the face of a future champion, if you ask me.
You know what? I can't I'm not gonna disagree with you. This is very,
I'm not saying
very
now, likely. Or am I?
Yeah. You know? I mean, hey, you never know. Take it as you will. Say, hey, you know, read between the lines.
Exactly. So wait, also, one last question before we go. When is your guy, Jay Crowder, going to step up and actually play? I'm just curious.
You know, here's my theory.
When's the Jay Crowder game? I'm waiting for it. He has two.
Well, we had a couple Jay Crowder games where he broke, you know, 12 points here and there. Like, I'm not expecting him to drop 30.
I'm waiting for a Marcus Morris type game where he just scores 20 and then he scores like six threes. I'm waiting for that.
You know, like, I think he is heavily affected by momentum. And there was a play early on, I think it was in the first quarter or the second quarter, where he got the ball. He had a great look, top of the three, and he swished it. But I can't remember who it was. I think it was PJ Tucker got called for the foul on DeAndre Ayton. So the shot did not count.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that killed it for Jay Crowder the rest of the game because it was a clean look, beautiful set play. If only Ayton didn't fall, we could be having a different conversation right now. We could have had the Jay Crowder game tonight.
Yeah, man. Just because of Ayton, you know. Dang.
Yeah. Man. But yeah. Okay, so that wraps up Game 5, definitely another nail biter. A great series so far. I can't wait for what Game 6 brings, whether we go into a Game 7 if necessary. I'm hoping it does just because I like the excitement and the nervousness of mm-hmm. each and every game. I love it. I miss it. Nat has the Bucks. I have the Suns. Also on Tuesday night, more likely than not, we'll have Lawrence and Chris rejoin us. And that's when we'll also dive into Team USA talk.
Space Jam 2 or no?
I still have to watch it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to stream it on. I'm scared. Nah, I was going to say.
Is it streaming somewhere?
Yeah. HBO Max. If you have it, of course. But.
Okay. Yeah. I got it. So I'll watch it.
I thought you were going to go to 123, you know, xyzmovies.com.org.
No. Nah.
Can't say it here on the airwaves. Nah, I can't.
We're big balling, so you know we have all the streaming services. You know what I mean? Just kidding. I'm not big balling. With that, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, it's good to hear Mike Breen say "bang" again. Oh, great! I think it was for Devin Booker, I believe, on that three. It's great.
I feel bad for D Book. You know, he brought them back within 2 points. You know, yep. I feel like it was all him. He's just not getting any help, man. Hopefully it's a different scenario in Game 6. We'll see. I'm pushing for a Game 7. I'd love to see it. But
mm-hmm.
until then, everybody stay safe, stay healthy. We'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.